Hi, and welcome along to Early Excellence's Head to Head podcast. It's great to have you here. I'm Sarah Carey, School Improvement Lead here at Early Excellence, and in these podcasts, I'll be connecting with real head teachers and school leaders. We'll be discussing hot topics in primary and early years education and sharing some real experiences. So keep listening to hear more about school inspections and impactful school improvement strategies.
An extremely warm welcome to this recording, the latest recording from Early Excellence, and this time we're specifically focusing on early years assessment. Very, very warm welcome to everybody. Wherever you are listening to this, I hope you're safe and well. Over to yourself, and if you want to introduce yourself, set the scene really about Aspire.
I'm Helen Bingham. I'm the early years lead for the trust, which is based in Cornwall. We are a trust of 37 schools and 22 primary schools. We are all primary schools, and we basically go from Cornwall, from the top, from Bude, all the way down to the Lizard at Helston and stretch across. So we cover quite a large area of Cornwall with those 37 schools. Some of our schools are very, very small, two classes, one pupil per year group entry, and some of our schools go up to three form entry as well.
Fantastic. And so thinking about kind of early years assessment, prior to the conversations that you started with Sarah into last year, what processes were in place, and I suppose what anxieties and concerns did you have regarding those processes?
So obviously we have to complete the reception baseline, the RBA, so that's obviously in place. But as a trust, we had a very old system, I would say. It was basically, are you on track or not on track across the 17 areas? And that was then done at either half-termly or termly points, depending on the school, where they felt that was needed. It was done on a spreadsheet. It was probably paper-based, so it wasn't accessible. It was in somebody's mark book. And it was really, really limited in terms of actually telling you where the children really were in terms of their birth dates. It didn't focus on the characteristics of effective learning. It didn't focus on the Lewin scales, well-being. So it was really, and it was very judgment-based. It wasn't holistic. It didn't involve actually getting involved with the children, a lot of activity-based assessments. And it was also reliant on the teacher's knowledge. What does that actually really look like? It was very, very limited is how the assessment was. There wasn't one system in place. It was very much, this is what you could use. This is, if you want to, you maybe would like to adapt it into your own way. So actually there wasn't that consistency or that fidelity. So then as a trust, looking at what does the data mean as the overview of the trust, there wasn't somewhere that you could then tap into. So at a strategic partner level, where you might be able to see in 6 to 10 schools, you know, you were very limited. But then at the trust level, what does that mean for children in our early years at within our trust? So and it felt very much that it was driven about the subjects and maybe not about the uniqueness of the child and what does it mean to be that child within our setting. So it was very limited. It didn't allow us to look at the barriers or look at trends even as well. So it needed reforming in some way.
That comes across really clear. And those kind of gaps in the process and gaps in the system, gaps in people's knowledge. What we're going to do with this information? How is it going to inform at leadership level, but classroom practice level as well? And as you said, Helena, everyone's has to do the RBA, but that's not designed to inform practice. It's so you do the thing and it goes away. And the so what is a very big question, isn't it, of course, related to the RBA. So it sounded like you were looking for something that was going to help address the concerns, both at a school level, classroom level, but also more strategically for the trusts as well. And then we put you in conversation with Sarah. And I guess it's where, Sarah, over to you in terms of kind of what we were thinking about at the time and how that related to what we're looking for, I suppose.
Sure. I mean, obviously, you and I are in school a lot, aren't we? And we have a lot of conversations as part of our strategic reviews, conversations with school leads and early years leads about talking about children when they join reception, actually what the start points look like, that narrative around kind of what children bring, what their wobbly bits are, what they're expert in, and having that holistic picture at the start of the year to talk about that narrative that you want to engage in, not just with inspectors, actually. It's a narrative that you want to engage in with your school leads and your practitioners as well, and have that, what are our strengths, what are our priorities, how do we know that and what are we going to do about it? And often when we engage in those conversations, in those strategic reviews, we can get a very mixed response. Sometimes, well, as you say, we've done the RBA, but that doesn't necessarily give us the information that we need. However, we've made a few notes along the way, rightly or wrongly, and this is what we found out. Some people have said, we've done the RBA and that's it. Others kind of share that they've perhaps developed some sort of their own baseline, maybe printed off websites, which again is quite generic and doesn't consider unique child. And again, is giving them that start point, but is not encouraging them to think about the so what, the what next for practice and provision, and the kind of refinements that we need to make maybe to our curriculum and the adjustments and things. So you and I and our other curriculum team members have had those sorts of conversations. So we started to kind of discuss what we might be able to do to support schools that were interested in capturing a much clearer picture of their reception children at the start of the reception year. And we went back to kind of looking at the work that we'd undertaken when many years ago we were involved in EXBA, a baseline, many, many years ago now. And also EXAT, our assessment system that we had in place up to 2021. So we started to look at the child development aspects around that. And really, in our mind, we wanted to be clear in terms of trying to develop a tool that would give a real clear picture of entry, but also that will inform that practice and provision. But for us, really being guided by those underpinning principles of what effective assessment looks like, that holistic picture, starting with those levels of wellbeing involvement as indicators of readiness to learn and being in a place that we can kind of, those children can start to show you what they know because they've got those medium to high levels, really valuing those characteristics of effective learning. But I think fundamentally, it was about it being purposeful for staff so that they could be in provision with the children at the start of the academic year, build up a knowledge of those children, start to build up those authentic relationships, get a picture of what the children are genuinely demonstrating. So if for us, it wasn't about having a tick list that you follow your children around and give them lots of activities, the assessment tool that we wanted to kind of develop was to be developed to enable staff to actually spend time in the provision with those children at that very crucial time of the year. And then having spent that time settling the children, giving them that time to breathe, then standing back and reflecting on pulling that knowledge together to make informed judgments and decisions against a criteria that we've kind of developed and a criteria that will fundamentally give a mark in the sand, if that's what we'd like, or will also reflect the ages and stages and developmental milestones as well. And I think for us, it was really important that it was something that practitioners could then discuss with colleagues, maybe talk to parents and carers and gather that information, look at information coming from preschools or childminders. So put that into the mix with the professional knowledge that they've built whilst being with those children. So we started to explore around that really and kind of came together with a tool that we've now called XREC. So for reception, and it will give you your reception entry capture. And we've explored obviously piloting that with some schools of which the Aspire Trust has been involved. So it will be good to hear a little bit more really about how you found that to support teaching provision, practice and professional discussions, I think, as well.
I think it's really interesting because it was what came out of conversations we were having with lots of people, wasn't it, including a multi-academy trust who had raised very similar concerns of what is really going on in schools more broadly. And from a strategic perspective, what can a trust do to support those schools? And one of the things they felt they were missing was that really good baseline evidence of the children, because of course the RBA wasn't supplying that to them. And they are also one of the trusts that have taken part in the pilot as well. So yeah, the conversations seem to be similar across the country. So it's great when we can bring everybody together to kind of see what those outcomes are. Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, Sarah. So I guess then it's then how did the relationship begin in terms of XREC, Aspire, Early Excellence, and kind of what was needed to put in place to make that all happen, and how you've kind of taken it and owned it, I suppose, really, from an Aspire perspective as well.
So obviously, Sarah, you guys approached us and asked us if we'd like to be part of the pilot, because we have worked really closely with you doing research projects in the past where we've focused on writing and we've had room designs and we've got resources and we've engaged with podcasts and the other bit. So you came and approached us And I think it came about a conversation that we had had about data as well following an Ofsted meeting. But the handbook that we were given with the statements, you know, I read through it as a leader myself before, you know, I had to get the trust to agree that this was something that we were going to do as a pilot, because, you know, we still had to complete the RBA and this was then another level. So had to think about wellbeing, what that looks like. But we were really keen to be part of that pilot because we recognised we needed to put something into place. Once the handbook had arrived, Sarah made such, there it is, such an informative video for us to follow. So, you know, I didn't have to take on, let's make a video, you know, I need to read this. And from a Matt lead who was very busy at that time, it was great because actually that onus was taken off and it felt, you know, this is a system that we've looked at, we've validated with together, we are part of this pilot. But it was over to Sarah, and Sarah's video really talked us through, and actually being able to access that video multiple times. And I know when you look back at the register, I think I'd probably access the video more than anybody, because I used to watch it and then take notes and then go back to. So it was able to go back to that, and we were then able to use that video for heads of schools to look at the video as well. And it really meant that everybody was able to be able to see why we were taking part in this pilot and what the outcomes would be in terms of impact for children and impact for staff. So that's how we got involved with the project and how we got going with it, really.
Yeah, that sounds really, really great. And I think also people might not be aware, but you didn't use EXAT, which was the tool before, which Sarah was talking about. So the statements and kind of bits of those were very new to you. So even more to kind of get your head around, I guess. And we were really keen that we engage with some trusts and schools that hadn't seen previous systems, because to us, it's that transferability of the resource, isn't it? That it seems to be absolutely key.
So it was coming at it, you know, that triangulation that we talk about so many times, but actually I'm coming at it from the early years and inviting the heads of school along to the training and watching the video. Okay, let's look at your data for last year. Well, lo and behold, they could only look at possibly the GLD at the end of the year, but they couldn't talk about those other journeys. And then here we are, we've got this pilot that we're piloting where we're going to be looking at children, not just the line in the sand, where are they right now, on track, not on track, but we are really thinking about the child, that holistic view, age developmentally. Let's look at that. So those two things together really were the driving force, I think, at the beginning of the year. So whilst it felt like maybe, oh, we've got to do some assessment and it's different, it is change, isn't it? But we took off, you're not going to do our old assessment, which was really interesting because we still had lots of people saying, well, still, do you want to do the on track, not on track? And we've said, no, you do not need to do that bit. And actually some people still did that bit because they, you know what it's like, they can't let go of the bit that the system that they've got is kind of like that safety net. So some schools went at it and they were really brilliant and they took it on board. But it was those network meetings that really helped, because actually some people say, oh, I'm struggling to do this bit. How do you do this bit? Or, you know, what does that look like?
That's really powerful, isn't it? And again, that there's a whole, I think it's Michael Fullan talks about change in schools and how actually introducing new process and so on is straightforward or complicated as they need to be. But it's that political buy-in. It's the why we're doing this, which is often hard within an individual school. But you're talking about lots and lots of schools and getting people on board. But it sounds like it's led to really great learning conversations, which is really powerful to hear.
And it's great feedback to hear as well, because obviously we've been really clear in what we've put together is kind of basic in terms of we will give you the tool. So there is a handbook that gives you the background information, the step by step, talks you through the process, gives you kind of guidance for moderation suggestions, for quality assurance suggestions, for how to analyse the data and how you might present that. We offer that training session to take everybody through, and from what you're saying, that those two elements worked really well for practitioners, teachers, leaders, strategic partners, heads of school. So actually it's got enough information there, but you've been able to then take that and make it work for the systems that you've got as a trust, because of course everybody uses different data systems, the systems need to talk to one another. And I think that's kind of one of the beauties of XREC, is that we're not saying you have to do it on this specific platform. Actually it's quite easy to use the systems that are already in use in schools generally to generate kind of that data analysis process, to have those professional discussions, and because it's a consistent form, you've got over 30 schools using the same statement. So again, it will oil the wheels for those professional discussions, because there's a commonality, isn't there, in terms of what they're talking around and what they've been looking at and what they've been reflecting on. And the more you can have those professional conversations, the more that will just become embedded thought processes in people's minds, which is where you want to get to in the long term, I suppose.
Yeah. I suppose it's giving you another lens, hasn't it? That's the thing. It's looking at a lens of the children, either that individual child or that group of children, whether it be summer born or particular classes, but to help with those conversations, having it at that classroom level of, well, tell me about these children and what is it they're needing. And as you say, sometimes this kind of process can throw up some anomalies. It can also help when you think about those teachers who are less experienced. So it can support them in identifying where should the children be. I also think about perhaps how those teachers, you know, the ones who move from working in stage two, say, I really want to go and work in reception, which is fantastic. But their understanding of that journey that children go on may be more limited. So having these kind of statements can be really helpful with that, knowing where do you have to get to, you know, where that concept of, you know, school readiness and so on, moving on into key stage one. So yeah, lots of new lenses, I guess.
And I know, obviously, when we put it together, particularly the baseline, we wanted it to be usable. Of course, it, as it stands, it needs to be run alongside the RBA. The RBA is statutory. This isn't. But if you've got that entry picture, the ones that you've just described, actually, even if, regardless of kind of the processes that take place in the middle of the year in terms of assessment, you would still be wanting that. So what? What's next? Which children need what and why? And focusing on those ones that are cusp or at risk of falling behind, but also having the confidence that actually these children are where they need to be. So with a high quality curriculum, high quality practice and provision, they should continue to make that progress. So again, it will help teachers and practitioners to know to really be spending their time with the right children at the right point in the year and moving those things forward. But if you fast forward to the end of the academic year, actually, because XREC has been developed to look at, yes, characteristics, yes, well-being, but those areas of the curriculum, you can actually look at the end of the year undertaking the profile. And yes, you'll have that data that comes out of the profile and the data analysis that you'll do around that with regards to expected and GLD. But you can then look back at those children's start points and say, actually, were they typically where they needed to be at the start of the year, therefore have hit two at the end of the year, or actually were they typically not where they needed to be? And actually, developmentally, those children that are perhaps the summer born children, where did they start and where did they get to? Did they reach end of year expectations? Did they not? So even though the end of the year in lots of schools, well, all schools will be doing the profile and looking at the GLD, there's still a reflective conversation to be had there about that narrative around individual children's progress and the progress that they've made, which I think is quite powerful as well.
Just looking at the evaluation that we ran as well, there's one statement which says it really allowed me to consider the Leuven scales and the characteristics of effective learning, and the ABC statements helped me to consider developmental aspects I might have previously overlooked. So having that there written down in that fact, and then from this I've drawn my assessment and my future planning, and I've been able to support my IPMs and my and an EHCP application as well from it. So I think actually the level of detail that's within the context, as well as, you know, the main teaching areas, but actually looking at the characters and all those other, it really has broadened so many conversations as well. I feel it's widened not only across different levels across the trust, but even individually for nearly every single person that took part. They recognize actually the quality of what they are seeing, and that time with the children has then with the so what factor, it has really informed my practice.
But yeah. I think as well, the so what factor that you don't necessarily see as a next step, because we're talking next steps from that so what, but one of the so what's that takes place is because it's been designed for the practitioners to be with the children, actually it is helping from the very start those relationships to be developed, for those staff to get to know those children, their interests, their families, where they gravitate to in the provision. So things that, okay, maybe not necessarily correlate directly to the statements that we've put within the XREC system, actually it's all really valuable information to make that right start in terms of developing those positive relationships and those kind of real authentic relationships as well, and actually language and communication, which of course is so important. It's not about staff standing behind a clipboard or behind an iPad or doing those activities, and I think that the power of that so what being with the children at the start of the academic year, you know, shouldn't be underestimated in terms of the importance of that. And I know obviously we ran feedback for the pilot, and certainly some of the statements that came through, somebody had said, I'm so pleased that I was able to be with the children in provision. I actually got to know my children better because I was in the provision with them. And we asked for kind of three words, what three words would you use to describe XREC? And things came out like meaningful, useful, really kind of impacting on teaching and learning, child-centred, about the children, holistic. So all of the things that we at Early Excellence really place value on actually came back to us as feedback as, yes, it does do this. So that was great for us, as well as from, you know, the pilot schools that we've worked with, yourselves involved included, it's helped with that, those professional conversations about teaching and learning and next steps. And I know in your instance, obviously, you've got the platform that you use, and you had a conversation with the team at Insight, and they put together those, if you like, those pages, they put together the calculations and the pages based on your request. And it was quite a straightforward process for them to do, wasn't it? And I do know, obviously, other schools use other systems, but that tech team behind are there to kind of do that. So you've really been able to ask for everything that you need, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, they've been phenomenal, actually, in aligning with it and getting on board and tweak it and then develop it further as we've gone through, because, you know, it was new. So actually coming up with what that looks like, but your guidance and actually it is a replica of what you've got in the handbook. So it, you know, it is just working on those bits. Can I just go back to the previous point? Sorry, it's about the age developmental point. I think what also really highlighted for us, which maybe we do know about as practitioners, but really looking at those autumn born children and really thinking about those children. And that is what I know we're quite excited about the data drop coming. Dare I say, I would never have said that previously, but I'm really excited to actually now look at those children in particular. I'm really always focused on the summer born children and really passionate about summer born children and where they get to and what that looks like. But I'm really interested in those autumn born children that should have been age developmentally on track from and where have they got to, and then comparing that to the summer born children. And what I really like in some of the evaluation is about actually it has opened up those conversations about the summer born children, although they seem to be behind their peers because age developmentally they're just not the same age. This has really helped to highlight that. We often talk about those things, but actually this has given that real tool to talk about it and why, you know, and actually to say, actually, I'm not going to do for that group of children because actually age developmentally, they're not ready for it. And, you know, and it's helped to back up those professional conversations. So I think so much has come from that. But I think that tracking and looking at the children where they are and that holistic approach. And like you said, it felt like it validated it's okay for you to go and be in the continuous provision, because quite often sometimes, you know, you've got to get going with your phonics, you've got to go and do those other bits and bobs, and you can feel that already week one pressure down not to be with the children. But actually where we're trying to push this play-based provision, where actually you're having those back and forth conversations and to get in to know the children, set those routines and all those other bits, it felt like you could do that alongside filling in XREC at the same time. So it was really powerful in giving that back to the teachers as well, to be able to say, okay, be with your children, go and be with your children, find out about your children, get to know your children, you know, develop those relationships, and then we will look at it as we go further.
I think when Sarah first shared the book with me, and Sarah, there's a massive amount of work that Sarah did to develop the guide book. To me, I saw it as a great CPD tool as well, and that sense of when we think about assessment, we can only see what we can see, and therefore that limits what we can understand. We can only understand what we can see, and how do we understand that? And then importantly, how do we act on it? So and data is one of those things we can look at and say, well, actually, is that really true? Is that what we're seeing in the children? Or do we need to look at it in a different way? Or are we not providing the opportunities for the children to demonstrate their understanding? And it's how leaders in schools and across trusts look at that and think, what do we need to do next and help supporting those children? So yeah, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, what a great CPD tool. And I know still people nostalgically reminisce about the old XAP poster in the same way. And whole thing about child development, and we've talked a lot, haven't we, on other conversations about child development, and how critical it is that anybody assessing where children are at with their learning has that deep knowledge of child development, and something like this I believe can really support that.
I think that's what's important for us at Early Excellence. It's about it being purposeful for teaching and learning, being effective and useful for teachers and practitioners, heads of school, leaders, data analysis, all of those sorts of things across the trust, but we want it to be right to make the difference for the children. And I think we've stuck quite tightly to looking at child development as well as that expected attainment, and kind of marrying the two together as best we can, so that schools can either access the developmental side of it or can access that line in the sand if that's what they choose to do. But either way, it's the professional conversations and the impact on teaching and learning and informing provision and practice that should hopefully move forward.
Can I just pick up on that bit? Sorry, Phil, to jump in, but dare I mention the O word? Am I allowed to say Ofsted in
you
this?
You can mention the O word. Yeah.
So quite early on into the autumn term, we had an inspection. As you would expect with so many schools, they come round quite quickly. And actually, the teacher was able to use the XREC data. We had that look. She had annotated it. You know, she'd gone through, completed all the assessments. She had her annotation. She had her, you know, what did they come in like, and it really allowed her to be able to talk about child development. What did this cohort come in like compared to, we did talk about previous ones, but what specifically were the barriers that they were facing? Where were they going with their next steps? What did that clearly look identified about? And the tool really was able to help her to articulate that in such detail, which we wouldn't have had that information in a way. Yes, obviously we've got our own teacher pedagogy and our own knowledge, but it helped cement that. And actually Ofsted were really interested in the fact that we were part of this pilot, and they looked at the, you know, they looked at the handbook and they asked us more about it. So it was really interesting tool, and we've used it again in two further inspections as well, actually. And what does it mean? And that's so what's coming, but why, what is this information telling you right now about these children and how you're taking it forward? So it's been really vital in those conversations as well that we've had.
Yeah, that's, and again, that's reassuring in terms of, from our point of view as well, in terms of that initial inspection that I know you had was very early in the term. So that member of staff was new children, new term, and a relatively new assessment tool for baseline, but actually straightforward enough or useful enough or kind of thorough enough that actually accessible enough to enable them to talk confidently and competently about their children, even though it's a relatively new system. So I think that kind of is quite a powerful message as well.
I think, well, it kind of brings, I suppose, to kind of the final kind of phase of this conversation is, obviously, we're really keen to support other schools if they want to use XREC as a tool. What would you say to anybody who is interested in terms of thinking, oh, I'm quite like to find out a bit more about it, or the impact that it's made both at a school level, but also a strategic level? Kind of how would you sum it up, I suppose?
Well, it has delivered everything that we've asked from yourselves for as an assessment tool, but everything that we need for across our trust at different levels. So actually it isn't something that's sitting with just the reception teacher and then maybe the head of school. It's something that is accessible. You could use it in your EYFS training as your local based in a school. You could broaden that across to multiple schools across a hub, but you could take that right up to hub level. But within that, you can then also go to the English lead, the maths leads, you know, as a trust leader further up, you know, if you're Academy Improvement Team lead, you have got a tool that you can be using and then asking those really important questions where you might not have that early years knowledge to be able to ask those questions that you want to. So at different levels, it is supportive and adaptive to be used. And obviously, it's great to see the children as a unique child as well, where they are, but not necessarily academically, where they are as a child in that uniqueness of well-being, involvement. So it hits so many different levels. So I would say, you know, definitely it's a tool to be using, and you can actually then tailor it to what you want from it.
You've got that strategic overview, haven't you, in terms of you're seeing it as a tool to support that strategic planning, and almost what you've put into it, you've almost got reaped even more rewards. It's what you've put in, you've reaped even more rewards out of it. But I think it shows that it, as you say, it's an accessible and usable tool, but it's got lots of scope depending on your school context, your trust context, your groups of schools. Actually, it'll offer you quite a lot of potential should you wish to take it even further.
Thank you ever so much for the conversation this afternoon. Really, really exciting. And I know people will be looking forward to hearing about the next part of the journey as well. I'm sure we'll be doing a similar recording later on into the academic year to see what happened next.
We are a very open trust, so if anybody would like to get in touch, please do get in touch with us, because we are because we are based in Cornwall as well, we do like to look outwardly as well. So if anybody does want to come and visit, but we also would love to come and visit other people as well. So yeah, you know, please get in touch.
Thank you. Thank you ever so much, and have a wonderful weekend.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I hope you found it a valuable listen and that you've taken some things away to reflect on, or maybe things that you want to discuss with your colleagues. Of course, remember, if you want to talk about any of the issues that we've explored today, or you need support with other matters in your school, then do feel free to drop me an email, sarah@earlyexcellence.com, or why not get connected with me on LinkedIn or Twitter. Anyway, take care and join me next time for some more genuine head-to-head conversation.